following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Advertising is a tricky business, I have learned. Well, over the years, I mean, over the 30 years I've been in this business, that, you know, you whore yourself out when you do what we do for a living. Radio Memphis certainly is no exception to the rule, because yes, we do accept advertising. And that's the key thing. And we'll advertise anything, you know, within reason. In other words, you got a check to write, I'll cash it, and I'll pretty much hawk whatever it is that you want hawked to a certain degree. And it's funny, because, you know, people are, they've made things a little more complicated than necessary when it comes to things like advertisement. It's so funny, because people have found that people get suckered in the get rich quick things, and this is stuff that's been going on forever and ever and ever and ever, and it's amusing to me. I see it a lot on social media. You know, people, you know, and it's kind of cool, like the way like Twitter does it. You know, they have their promoted tweets, and you can get in on that, and it's not in your face, it's not, you know, overly, you know, pushy, and it's reasonable stuff. You know, the trick to advertising is matching the product to the audience. That's the trick, and that's the big mystery of advertisement in television and radio and broadcast. That is, because you want to, you know, you identify your audience as best as you can, and then you match the products to them, because it just seems to make sense. Because let's be honest here, we're all swayed by it in one shape, fashion, or another. Because, you know, you'll be sitting there perhaps watching a television show that you fall right into that demographic of the people that watch it along with you. You have something in common with your audience. And there are times when I see an ad or something like that actually does kind of make me think about that product and perhaps even investigate it even further. And that's the nature of the beast. That's the way it works. Ideally, that is. And then there are the whole shotgun things that don't fit at all. Yeah. the pushiness of some of the stuff really does kind of get it gets old. We all see it, we all deal with it, we all like, oh god, it's this again. You know, it's like the multi-level marketing stuff, the MLM stuff that gets just shoved around on social media, Facebook specifically, because some people just don't shut up about it. You know, if you're selling some, you know, pink powder to put in your water to make you lose weight, that's great. You know, it's what's weird is that it's turning into some sort of a weird effed up religion, which is what multi-level marketing turns into, because they're trying to push it. They're trying to say, hey, if I can get you to sign up for, you know, $100 a month or whatever to help you lose weight, and you do find a way to, you know, if you actually physically do lose weight, yeah, you become a bit of a convert, and you say, hey, this stuff actually works. So therefore, you know, why don't I sell it as well, and then I can make some money, I can find a sucker, and thus the cycle repeats. Because you're not getting so much of a subscriber to your product as it is a person that is selling along with you. And then, you know, eventually it peaks out. It always does. I mean, how many Plexus dealers do you need? I don't know. I'm on the fence about a lot of that stuff, because, you know, I used to be a pretty heavy dude. I weighed a lot. I mean, I was getting close to 300 pounds. I was a big boy, and I dropped the weight, for health reasons. And I do feel a lot better as a result of it. But the way I did it, I didn't do it with that kind of stuff. You know, it was really simple what I did. I watched what I eat. that's just it. Some of us will go, yeah, I'll watch what I eat, you know, from the plate to the fork to the mouth, and away you go. But, you know, when you get up in age a little bit, you start thinking about that. You don't, you know, especially there's been fat people in my family. And you do stuff like step away from the fast food. You step away from sodas. You step away from junk food. If the old adage is, if the food has to be advertised, it doesn't need to be eaten. Probably a good point, because if you think about it, there are no, I don't know of any commercials out there that advertise broccoli or apples. No, it's always the processed stuff that gets advertised. So, you know, therefore I lost a lot of weight by just, you know, being careful about what I do. And I get out and I walk and, you know, I do that kind of, I'm not an exercise nut by any means, but you know, I try and look after myself a little bit. I have my wife to thank for that, because she used to be a gym rat. I mean, she really did. And, you know, we do things together. We walk together. We spend time together, and we don't go to gyms and stuff like that. I still have horribly unhealthy habits, but as far as my weight is concerned, yeah, you know, that's what did it for me. And when you look at, take it back to advertisement, when you look at some of the things that are being advertised by individuals, okay, not by companies, but by individuals, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like it's in your face all the time. And it's like, okay, enough. I get it. Shut up. Right on, man. Okay, great. You're selling some pink powder, and I hope it works for you. I hope you make a lot of money doing it, I guess. And for some people, they think that this is the way it's going to be, and they're going to make money for the rest of their days doing just that. It has no real huge future as far as I can tell. But there again, I mean, Avon's been around, and it's sort of the same deal. Herbalife was another one. What's the other one? Amway. I had a friend in Texas that was, God, it was just, her garage was just filled with Amway products, and stuff would just sit there because you couldn't sell it. These people were like, Amway, what the hell? You know, it's, you know, this really weird, strange lifestyle that incorporates into people's lives when they're selling a product. They, I don't know. It's like they're beyond, it's not living beyond the product. It's really strange. There was a time when I was in Texas, and I got this, I don't know, it's kind of hard to describe. It wasn't necessarily a job. I mean, it sort of was, but it wasn't. But it was this deal where, and I was asked to go in and help out, and I did, and I didn't know any better. And it was at a, it was like a timeshare deal. And it was one of those deals that you got a card in the mail. You got a postcard in the mail that said, you won a television or a cruise or some ridiculous bait. And you would have to go to this condominium area, this you know, resort type thing, and you'd have to endure about an hour of a pitch. And at the end of that pitch, you had the right, obviously, to say no. And if you said no, you won. You got a prize. It was a carnival-like atmosphere. It was very strange. And I was one of the guys that sat there and tried to sell these timeshare things at this condo. And I've only did it for like a month. And in that time, I've heard of people that had actually successfully sold it and they were great and they were making a couple of bucks out of the deal, but I couldn't do it. It got to the point where, you know, you'd have the meeting before the public got there, and the sales manager was this rah-rah type of cat, and, you know, they'd have you dancing about, and they'd have you, you know, being all warmed up and positive and weird. And they played this kind of funky dance music around the meeting, and they wanted everybody to be go team. And it's like, you could see right through the bullshit is really, for a guy like me at least. And I was like, this is ridiculous. This is just really kind of stupid. And I was the guy that just kind of sat there while everybody was kind of dancing around. And of course, the sales manager come over and go, why, Rick, you don't look too happy. Let's make you happy. And I'm like, oh, dude, really? I should be drunk right now. This is not going well. I it was horrible. And there were times during the, you know, these people would come in because they wanted to get their free prize. They're little paid for, and the cruise was God, that was all fucked up, because it wasn't, yeah, you got on the boat for free, right? But you had to pay to get there. You had to pay for this. There was all these little sub fees and charges and stuff. And people would get pissed off, and they would yell, and they would like, oh, this was such a scam. And it was. And there were right toward the time that I left it, I actually told these people, I'd meet them out in the waiting room. Oh, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Boar Grinder. Come on in. And you sit down in this little private little area, and then you give them a little bit of a pitch, and then you'd walk them over to the condo, and they'd see it. And it, oh God, it was horrible. But the whole the whole thing was, you could tell on the looks of these people's faces that they understood that this was complete bullshit. They were not going to buy into the timeshare thing because it just was sort of silly. And they were there to get their television or their cruise or their whatever it was that we were giving away that week. And these people, you know, you could tell that they knew. And I knew it too. And I there were a lot of times when I get away from the other people, I go, yeah, this is complete horseshit, man. I wouldn't buy into it. Look, you know, I've got to keep you here for like 45 minutes. Let's just go through the motions. I'll do what I can to make sure you get the best prize I can get you, that, you know, that kind of thing. And so I did it that way, and nobody bought in for obvious reasons. That's why these businesses don't stay afloat, because after I'd left, and it was like, I don't know, like a 3 or 4 months later, I'd heard that the whole place went under because nobody was buying into it. And you know, there's just that, God, it just reeked of this corporate, you know, bullshit. It's the best way, it's the only way to describe it. It's, and I, you know, you still see it, you know, the whole, you go to any major store like a Walmart or a Home Depot or Lowe's, which, by the way, I learned that Lowe's is actually owned by Walmart, which explains a lot. It explains the colors of the place and the really surly attitude of the people that work there. Because let me tell you, if I had to work there, I'd be just as pissy too. But I mean, you do what you have to do. I'm not, you know, if this is what you do for a living, I'm not here to badmouth you. I understand. I mean, that's a job. It's not a career. It's a job. And that's just how things go. And in the case of this, you sit there and you see it. And for those of us that have been in the corporate environment, and I saw it in corporate radio, it was this go team, rah, rah, let's kick everybody's ass and let's, you know, do this, do that. And it I don't know, it does become sort of a strange religion. And I see it in this whole Plexus thing. And I refer to it as a religion, too. And I think the Plexus people get pissed off when I say that. You know, if your only existence on social media is to hawk some, you know, diet thing, you're not going to have too many friends. I just had to kick a guy off. I unfriended a guy, and I try to accept everybody, you know, doing what I do. You know, people want to stay in touch, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. You want to communicate with me on Facebook, I'll be more than happy to chat with you. But if your sole existence is to push products, and there was a post on my wall this morning. Hey, today's your lucky day, Rick. I got a $500 gift card from Walmart, and you can get one too just by clicking here. And then they had you jump through all the hoops. And I wrote back to the guy, and I'm like, seriously, because I went to his page first because I thought, well, okay, maybe he got hacked. That happens. If you see the sunglass post from Ray-Ban, that's usually somebody getting hacked, and they tag, like, you know, the maximum number of people they can tag into the post, and they send it out. And it's like, dude, you don't even know me. If you knew me, you knew that I hated Walmart, which I do. I can't stand it. I have not set foot in a Walmart in probably, what now, 3 years now? 3 or 4 years? I lost count. It's not something I celebrate. I celebrate the fact that I don't go into the fucking store, because Walmart is quite frankly, it's the devil. It's horrible. It's I don't know. It's just evil. And people will sit there and they'll say that, they'll say, Rick, I agree with you. Walmart is horrible. But then you talk to them later and they're like, ah, yeah, I got to go to the Walmarts because I got to pick me up something. You know, I got to go get my shirt, or, you know, I got to go get, I don't know, whatever the fuck you're getting at Walmart. It's just fascinating to me to see how people will badmouth something and then fall right in line behind it. I like to, you know, own up to what I say, and that's a prime example. Walmart is one such thing. And yes, they have a lot of money because we as a civilization have given them this money, and people will go there. Because unfortunately, in some cities and some towns, that's all they have, and that's just it. They drove out all these small businesses, and it just became a tragic thing here. And I'm not here just to, you know, completely badmouth Walmart. I mean, I don't know. You see their commercials. I would gladly run their commercials on Radio Memphis. I really would. I would like to get some of that money back that I, over the years that I had been there and had given them money. I'd like to get some of that back.
I'll be more than happy to sell you Walmart stuff if you want to go there. My personal opinion, no, I think the place is horrible. I don't like the way they treat their people. I don't like the way that they treat their customers. I just don't particularly care for the crap that they sell. It's cheap. You know, it's garbage. It's built-in redundancy. It's stuff that, you know, when the battery wears out, you can't get that particular battery anymore. Or, you know, you spend $30 on something and after about a year it doesn't work anymore because it's designed to do that because they want you to go back into it. Yeah, does that sound like a conspiracy theory? Perhaps. You know, I started this whole conversation thinking I would discuss advertising, and now it's come into what the hell has gone wrong with our society. when we as people are subject to these things and we do what we are told to do because we are told that is the only option that you have. And it's weird coming out of my head because, like I mentioned earlier, I'm a whore when it comes to accepting advertisement. I don't necessarily buy into the products that we advertise. Of course not. Nobody does. Sometimes, I mean, yeah, we've dealt with companies here at Radio Memphis that I gladly partake in their business, especially the local businesses, you know, the local restaurants and stuff. Yeah, I go to those. Yeah, I like to check out what we're advertising because it would be nice to have, you know, a little of experience because there are people out there who listen to what we do and they'll say, hey, I heard that commercial for such and such place. Have you been there? And I'll go, yeah, I've been there. It's really quite good. You know, because I don't want to be, no, I haven't been there. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you advertise all the time. Well, no, I don't. So, yeah, I mean, there is a certain bit of, I don't know, being conscious about what you're doing. There was a time in terrestrial radio, we were had to do these live reads for this particular type of mail order dog food. And they wanted us as personalities to feed our dogs this dog food. And I didn't want to do that because I didn't particularly care for that brand of dog food. And I knew the dog wouldn't like it. And it was just garbage. I mean, the company, I don't think is even in business. I don't even remember the name of it, but it was some sort of mail order dog food. It was supposed to be high end, but it was just crap. And then later I'd heard some horrible stories about how this dog food was so poorly made that it was making dogs sick and some of them had died. And it was just tragic. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I hate to turn down business, but on that aspect, yeah, I cannot with a clean conscience sit there and say, hey folks, you guys need to really pick up the phone and call this 800 number and order you about a good 30-pound bag of this dog food because your dog will like it. And no, the dog won't like it. He's going to look at you going, why did you feed me this? This is shit. Because, you know, if you think about it, a dog is eating the same thing every day and they are damn excited about it. That's what I love. We as people like variety. Animals, not so much. You know, it is funny around my house when I go tonight and it's like, okay, it's supper time and the dogs are all standing around. The cats are going crazy. Everybody's excited. And it's like, oh boy, dog food again. And I feel guilty because they're kind of sucked into the whole thing going, hey man, I'm eating what you're giving. It doesn't matter. I never really think so much about the fact that they may or may not like the food or you know how it is. You know, you go to a certain restaurant and you go, it's okay. Imagine a dog. Because a dog is either going to answer you in either a yes or a no. He's not going to go, it's tolerable. It's okay. I'd rather have this. I mean, he can't tell you that. So what I, you know, in my guilt about all of this, what I do, and it's actually, they dig this. I take a big, healthy spoonful of yogurt, plain yogurt, and I put it in their bowl at nighttime because they get fed twice a day. They eat in the morning. And then they eat the same amount at night, but I add yogurt to their food at night. And that they dig the yogurt because, you know, it's creamy. It's kind of sweet to them. And it's a nice flavor. It's a little something different. It's a little change. And it's like, oh, yeah, yay, yogurt. And the side effect, of course, is that it keeps them from being so farty. And that's a good thing. When you have a greyhound, let me tell you something, kids. A greyhound can clear a room and then blame the cat. That's the fun part. But you don't want to be on the receiving end of that whole deal. So yeah, yogurt will calm the stomach down. The probiotics, if you will, but yeah, you know, if you're sitting there and you're trying to sell this stuff that you know is just garbage, it's, you know, it's just not gonna, it's not gonna go well. Speaking of which, this podcast was I got an email from a one of the directories, one of the listings, one of the places that you can get this show, and they said, "Hey, your show's been picked to represent a bedding manufacturer, and you can, you know, you'll have to advertise. You don't have to, but you can advertise this company's bed." And they'll pay X number of dollars, and you know that's, and it's over a certain period of time. It's okay, great. You know, you look into it, and then it turns out that you really have to jump all through these hoops to make it work. And it's like, really, look, you know, they want to send me a bed first of all that I have the option to keep at the end of the deal. What the fuck am I going to do with that? I've got a bed. I've got a very comfortable. I have a water bed. I have a soft-sided, king-sized waterbed that is the best thing on the planet. I don't even know who makes it, but it's wonderful. I love it. I've had to change the tubes out in it every once in a while. You do. But I love the damn thing. And I'm sitting there thinking, you're going to ship this fucking bed to me, first of all, and I'm going to have to sleep on this thing after I get rid of my really nice waterbed. And then at the end of the deal, if I, you know, I could keep it. They're not going to want it back, obviously, you know, because, you know, us broadcasters are going to be, you know, we have a propensity to be, you know, I don't know, probably not too soft on a bed, but I don't know. It's just, I, you know, and then they want me to sit here and go, "Hey folks, you need to try out this bed. I've got one at home, slept on it last night, had a big time." No. But see, I would hazard to think that most of these guys, these podcasters or whoever that did accept the deal, that what they were more than likely doing was taking the bed and then, you know, popping it up on Craigslist or or on eBay. It wouldn't shock me if you see like a rash of beds that show up in your town on Craigslist. Brand new, right? You know, never been opened, never been slept on. Because he got it for free and he's going to turn around and sell it to make up the difference in the money that he was supposed to be getting paid for advertising the thing. See, whatever happened to that? That's the whole thing. I have an audience. You want to speak to them, I'll let you do that. And it'll cost you X number of dollars. That's advertisement. That's how that works. You know, newspapers back in the day, back when they first came out, it was like, look, I've got these number of people are buying this paper every day. And I'll devote some of my space in my paper to put a picture of your face in there if you want to. And you can say, "Hey, vote for me." Or, you know, "Come by my house and have some pie," or whatever it is that you want to, whatever it is that you're trying to sell. And it, you know, they gave you money and you printed whatever it was that you printed on their behalf, and out it went. It's no different in radio. It's no different even in a podcast like this. I'm hesitant to even consider advertisement on this thing because the world of podcast advertisement has turned into this really messed up, strange little zoo. And it's filled with this Plexus shit. It's filled with these, you know, well, you got to jump through these hoops. You got to try this product. You got to get this. You got to do that. You got to talk like this. You got to say that. And then we'll pay you at the end of the deal. No, fuck you. Pay me now. That's how this works. Since when I don't know. I guess it's the people that hold the money get to make the rules. I guess that's part of it. You know, do I get to hold you people hostage? You're damn right I do. Yes, I do. I have an audience, by God. Some 120,000 people are subscribers to this podcast, and if you want to speak to them, you got to go through me, motherfucker. Because that's just how that is. Because I care about you, the subscriber, enough to be very picky about what you should hear. And if you hear an advertisement on this podcast, I can promise you this, it'll be something that I believe in. All right? Because far too long, in the radio industry, in the broadcasting industry, it was okay here of late, and they do this rampantly now. It became okay at some point to go ahead and lie to the audience because they don't know any better. We used to hear about that shit all the time. Oh, just say it. It's okay. They don't know any better. You have the ability to sway somebody because of what you do and what you say. There's a power to this. But you have to show respect to it, and that's just it. And it, because of this, because of what has happened over the history of broadcast, it has become so difficult to pull that back and say, you know what, I'm an honest broadcaster. I really am an honest broadcaster. But nobody believes that anymore because they just say, look, he's in it for the money. You're right, I am in it for the money. But I am going to be very careful about what I tell you folks. What I try and tell you is A, for your entertainment. This is specifically for your entertainment. It doesn't cost you a goddamn thing. It's free. So if I have the ability to advertise something to you, and it will be something that I think that most of you might dig, okay? Something that most of you might find kind of cool, all right? That's just the way it goes. So, I wish this was a thing. Reverse advertisement. I wish this was possible. I wish this was possible. That one company would pay you to talk bad about another company just because, it's like, because I think a lot of times, like I said, you don't have to pay me to say something bad about this guy because he's an ass, You don't have to pay me to talk bad about Walmart because I'll do that on the house. Yeah. That would be an interesting thing to do. I guess it sort of does happen. That's what politics are all about, right? Political advertisements fascinate me because that's so precisely what they do. All the mudslinging and, you don't want to vote for my opponent because, he has sex with sheep. That was a thing too, by the way. That actually was said. It was during Lyndon Johnson's run for the Senate. When he was going into Congress, and he turned around to one of his advisors and he goes, I want it to leak out into the public that my opponent has sex with sheep. And the guy, his advisor said, he goes, you can't do that. That's not true. And he says, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. He's got to defend it. He's got to defend himself. He's got to argue the case. Oh, I don't have sex with sheep. Oh my God. Where did that come from? It's that sort of thing. I don't know. Mudslinging is amusing, but you only see it in the political level. If it happened in a corporate level, which I'm shocked it doesn't really. I mean, sometimes it does, but they're so tacky. Not tacky, but they're anti-tacky about it. Tactless. They have tact. I know what I mean. You should try our product. It's better than the leading brand. I love that. They give them, it's sort of a backhanded compliment. It's the leading brand, which means that they're better than us. But we're better than them because here's why. Well, if they're the leading brand, I want that one. That's the sheep mentality, right? That is so true. You should buy my peanut butter because it's better than the leading brand. What's the leading brand? It's a two-way sword when you deal with that kind of stuff, Instead of just saying, hey, check out my peanut butter because it's got this, and this going for it. We don't use high fructose corn syrup because it's evil, and we don't have as many cockroach parts as some other brands have. You can lay it out like that. Which, yes, that is possible. The FDA said that in cans of chili it was okay to have like less than a certain percentage of bug parts in the cans of chili. I mean, it's like, why is that even considered? How about zero? Can we go there? Can we have a can of chili that has zero bug parts in it instead of less than 1%? Because you're allowing it to be in there anyway. And the chili guys are going, well, you see, it's unavoidable. Bullshit. It is unavoidable. When I make chili at home, there's no bugs in it. For God's sake. Well, you're not making it on a mass consumption level. How about slow the fuck down? How about hiring a bug guy to come in and clean out your factory every once in a while? Not a bad idea, huh? We've allowed ourselves to be so complacent when it comes to stuff like this. And it's whether it's bugs in our chili or whether we're going to the Walmart or whether we are selling pink fizzy shit to put in our water to make you lose weight. I'm not into it. I don't know that you are. If you agree with me, great. If not, that's... What else could I possibly say aside from, look, yeah, I'll sell you stuff, but I'm going to be a little picky. Maybe I'm not as big of a whore as I thought.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
There was a time in my life when I went through therapy. Sometimes I feel like I need to, but I don't know. With this show, with this podcast, I feel like I'm in therapy right now. I grew up in a generation where my parents said to me, you can do anything that you want. Except show business. They were really pretty funny about that. But, you can do anything that you want. there's the haves and the have-nots, and there's this whole this talk about, oh, there's going to be a new American Revolution, man, and to me that, you know, just like the French Revolution, we're all going to go after the rich people and we're going to cut their heads off. And it's like, shut up. It's not, you're not going to do that. They want to treat people like shit because they've got to have everything. You know what? You're giving it to them. Stop it. That's just it.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
So I guess if I was being a whore, then I'd have to have a pimp, and I don't know who my pimp would be. Diana, maybe? She's my general manager. Perhaps she's my pimp. But then again, we're all whores together. You know. We could be picky whores. That'd be good. That, no, I'm not going to do you, man. I don't care how much money you got. Oh, yeah, because your average streetwalker, she'll take whatever she can get. You know, a crack whore, you know, they have no limits. They have no boundaries. The higher end call girls, I don't know. I guess if you've got money, they'll do you. But, you know, we're no different. It's advertising, man. It's all it is. That is everywhere you go. All right, kids, that's it for this edition of the program, this episode, if you will. Yes, thank you again, all of you who subscribe to this podcast in all of its various locations. Of course, if you have an iPhone, you can get it there. This thing's active as we record this. Of course, you can get it on iTunes, and if you're on an Android, there's a ton of different places that you can get it there as well. For more, find out radio-memphis.com. You can find it there for sure, and at arhobean.com. So there you go. I'm going to get on out of here. Y'all enjoy it, and we'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.